Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Friends, welcome back into Attacking Third. Fresh off of the U.S. Women's National Team loss to Brazil and friendlies over in Brazil, we've got Jen Beatty and Lori Lindsay in the house, and your girl Darian Jenkins is in the host seat. We are going to give you our initial reactions to this match, talk about individual performances that stood out, as well as spinning it forward and looking at the next match against this Brazilian side and some players we want to see get more minutes in that game. Whether you're watching here on YouTube, on GalazzoNet, or listening as a podcast, we appreciate it so much. Make sure you jump in the comments and let us know your thoughts on the game. Okay, ladies, before we get started, I texted you guys and asked, hey, you've both played against Brazil, right? We wanted to do a little throwback and see back in the day when you two played against Brazil. And Jen, let's start with you first, because 100% win rate against Brazil, Kim Little got the goal. Look at this throwback.
I'm ready for this. Oh, no. What is this? Is this a video footage or is that a still?
I'm not sure.
That is incredible research. That just goes to show, you know, the height of the game that was, that is the only picture that
you look like you're lining up to hit one from distance.
Back in the day, I might have, you know. Who knows, Lightning Lori, who knows?
That was supposedly after you almost scored a header. That was you running back after you narrowly missed from a diving header. Do you remember?
That sounds about right, though. Missed a header. sounds about me. Now, that was good old Pinatar Cup. The one and only time that Scotland have ever played Brazil. And guys, we won. 100% record. And credit, obviously, down to the legend that is Kim Little, that obviously got the goal. But yeah, so I can't say I have a huge ton of experience playing against Brazil. That was the one and time only. Don't know about you, Lori. Talk to us. What have you got?
You scored? Yes, I do have some experience. One being the
What have we got? I'm ready.
The most famous game against Brazil in the 2011 World Cup. And my goodness, what a game that was. I think Kelly O'Hara was just talking about this game as well, about everyone's different individual moments during this game, because it was just so long. Rachel Buehler got the red card in the first half. And then so we played with 10 players for the majority of the game. And then obviously the historic Meg Cross to Abby. And then, listen, I've been warming up for so long, though. I was telling you two in the chat before this. I've been warming up so long. You see Kelly just bypassing all of us when Abby scored to get to the corner flag. And I swear, me and Becky were like, we had just been warming up for like 90 minutes. It was like, go on, cheer for us. We'll stand right here, like by the bench. I was so tired. It was exhausting.
It's such an iconic fixture, though, isn't it? For US versus Brazil. There's so many head-to-heads.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, especially vacuum, Lori, so much history. And I feel like lore from that, Marta coming in, scoring, the redo of the penalties. Yeah. Like,
amazing.
Iconic. Well, I wanted to ask, before we jump into the show, Lori, what is it that about Brazil that just makes this matchup with U.S. Women's National Team just so, it feels unpredictable of how it's going to go? I think there's always a tone that it's going to be incredibly physical. Is that the case every time the U.S. plays them?
For sure. And I think there's at times, and even we heard it on the broadcast too, which I think makes a lot of sense in terms of what Emma Hayes was talking about, which is there's chaos and then there's like some moments of rhythm, but not a ton. And also I think what makes this, I mean, there's a lot of respect between these two teams as well, right? Like there is loads of respect just knowing how competitive they've been. Obviously we've had like the better of the results. I think actually I'm just making that up right now, but overall, but they've gotten huge results in the 2007 World Cup, where they beat us as well. And Marta put on just a masterclass of individual brilliance. And obviously in 2011, we won. What I would say that makes this game so challenging is one, the individual quality of Brazil, but also because I personally think a lot of teams are set up to pass, right? You're set up to combine, you're set up, and then you also have some players that are going to take on and isolate and go 1v1. But so many of their players can go 1v1. It's disorienting defensively because it's easier to pass, right? A lot of times to set up and be organized. But if you have players that one's dribbling, the others are making runs, you have to, like, in a split second time defensively, and Jen, maybe you can speak to this as well, but you have your organization, your cues of who's going to step, who's going to leave their mark potentially, or you're just going to drop as a back line. That also entails the midfield dropping. And I think you saw a little bit of that, or a lot of that, in this game today, which was really challenging for our back line if they got isolated when you had four players, sometimes five, which I'll also say is nothing new with Brazil. We saw this in the 23 World Cup. We're seeing a lot more teams do that where they overload back lines. I think, again, the difference is if you can't break their pressure, they have players that can either run at you or play a final pass, and their first reaction of pressure comes so quickly that if you don't get the ball out from underneath your feet, you're stuck, and then they have players in really good positions.
Jen, is that your experience in the win against Brazil?
In the one time that I've played against Brazil, that resonates massively. But I think you're spot on with how they initially set up, or the mindset of when, you know, playing against Brazilian players individually at a club or playing against their national team. It's very much that you set up against the team for passes to not break through structure, and your structure can be pretty set on that, or you can very much gain a lot of control through structure against the team. But when players, their first initial thing is to go 1v1, that completely breaks that. A lot of people pass to isolate a 1v1. They go 1v1 straight off the back and then pick the pass. It's almost the opposite, which it makes it really hard to defend, because naturally 1v1 is, I mean, how many times did you guys do 1v1 in training? Not that much. Like, everyone, it was quite a niche thing to do. You would do it every week, but not as much as you did structure, as you did passing, as you did shape. It was very much quite a small part of training. That style of football was a huge majority of it. So coming up against those kind of teams and watching games like that play out, it's like anything can just happen in a moment. And I think that's what's so special about these kind of players and kinds of teams.
I think this is a very confident Brazil as well. The broadcast, they were saying this is a deep team for the first time in a long time that in a similar way matches what the U.S. is doing. And the subs that were coming on, we didn't even get to see Marta. She's chilling in a ball cap on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Like, this team has some depth. Well, let's get into the match, because starting lineup came out and some big changes, and number one to me being in goal. And turns out Claudia Dickey and Fallon Tolis Joyce both dealing with injuries. So McGlynn gets the start. Giselle Thompson gets that left back position, which is a huge nod, with Tierna Davidson, Emily Sonnet, and Emily Fox in the back. Claire Hutton sitting in the six with Lily Johannes, which is massive. Lindsay Heaps in the middle. And then up top, a different kind of triple espresso: Alyssa Thompson, Sophia Wilson, and Trinity Rodman. Now, when you guys first saw this, Lori, was there any position that you were a little shocked to see change, or is this sort of what you predicted Emma Hayes to bring out in this first match?
Yeah, I actually thought this is probably what we were going to see, knowing that Mal Swanson is still coming back. I didn't think that we would see, and also that we have another game on Tuesday, so there's going to be a quick turnaround. You know, I thought maybe we could potentially see like a Jaden Shaw in there, but for the most part, I felt like this is what we expected, and Davidson and Sonnet wasn't a surprise, because it seems like this is a partnership or a pairing that Emma Hayes has been wanting to see and get more minutes together. So, yeah, I was excited to see this lineup.
Yeah, me as well, especially that Johannes and Heaps connection. We've had a joy of watching with Leon back on the women's national team. Well, the game kicked off fast. Sophia Wilson applies some pressure. They pick the ball up and she goes just off to the races and absolutely slots it for a goal in under 2 minutes, you guys. 2 minutes. Sophia Wilson is just and so good. Like, she hasn't lost a step.
So good. I know we'll get into individual performances, but she was without a doubt a standout for me. And I think breaking the deadlock that early, I was thinking, okay, where's this game going? All right, because there was a lot of early signs that the Brazilian defense was, you know, out of shape quite often. And moments like that, when you have a player like Sophia Wilson on the pitch, she was just so clinical. The way she actually took that shot and used the defender, knowing that that would block a lot of the vision of the goalkeepers. If you watch that back, it was just the most perfect place shot. So she's absolutely on fire, and it's phenomenal to see, considering she was out for such a time. Just the quality of the player. She's back to her best already, which I think is kind of crazy to say.
Yeah, I think you could even say that she's just like taking another step, because you feel that there, and she's even spoken about this in terms of just like, she's different, right? Like with having a baby. And I think they even said it about what Emma Hayes has talked about, since more players are having children while they're still playing, that, you know, they're not going to be the same players once they return. They're not going to be the same human being. So you just feels like she's playing with a lot of joy. I thought, again, when we were texting, I'm like, that finish was so class. Mm-hmm. Just the texture on it. I mean, you don't, there's not many people that are scoring goals like that. And it's just exceptional. I just thought what was interesting is that outside of that first moment, and granted, it was a great tackle from Trinity Rodman to dispossess, but I think it highlighted that goal to me, is how much room in the disorganization that you spoke about, Jen, with defensively for Brazil, because they do. I can't think of the word, man mark, right? They woman mark, whatever reason, player for player oriented. And so they get caught out, and also they take risks. So at times they're either playing a little bit of a high line, so they're spacing behind, or some are dropping. They'll get caught playing like just 1v1. There's a few times when Sophia Wilson could have gone 1v1. But I felt like it highlighted the space also that Sophia Wilson did a good job of dropping into and then getting faced up. And you can see whether or not they're going to say like everyone's going to step as a line together, or they're going to drop and everybody's not on the same page. So I just felt like that was an area that was highlighted that the U.S. could have taken more advantage of. Now, it did require them to keep better possession, retain possession of the ball, or be a bit more direct initially to win second balls and then play underneath them to create more chances. But
It all happened really, really quick. Sophia Wilson's first goal, like you're right, exposing acres of space that Brazil leaves, because they are so aggressive. They are so forward thinking. They're not afraid to go direct, match you physically. And boom, Brazil gets a goal back. It very, very quickly. This time, Maranhão, and it's off of a throw-in. U.S. loses possession. They high press, quickly send the ball in. Fox gets caught between two attackers. and Bolaños wide open on the back post to just send it. And before then, there was also a shaky moment with Mandy McGlynn where Bia Zanarate is pressing her and deflects the ball with really, she could have cleared it at any time. And to me, this was warning signs of what's to come for Brazil. And as soon as that happened, it felt all momentum went in Brazil's favor. And Bia, we've loved her with Kansas City, wish she was still there, gets her goal, gets a goal back to give Brazil the lead. Lori, what do you feel like was just the breakdown for the U.S. other than just not being able to keep possession in the middle of the pitch?
Well, I think you got to give credit to Brazil. They shifted the momentum. They went down early. It didn't look like that fazed them at all. They used the crowd. It was loud. We've heard that. You could hear it. They wanted to put on a performance. I think you feel like, in a lot of ways, it was a performance that they wanted to make a statement. So, you know, excellent goal. I think on the flip side for the U.S. on that first goal, those are things that you're going to be like, okay, we can clean this up.
Yes.
Yeah, you get rid of that. Like you just get tight on the throw in. Yeah. Make sure that somebody's touch tight in the box. Like there's no need for Emily Fox to be going for that ball. If you do, then you've got to win it. But just make sure the box organization is better defensively. She can stay on her player, and then that's not a free header. So there's so many things that they could have cleaned up on that. But I think just that it shows a split second how that can change. You get one back immediately after going down, and then they're going to have all the momentum. And especially with some of the form. I mean, listen. Bia was one of the best players when she was playing in the NWSL in the league, and one of the best at like picking up the ball in such areas that are difficult to defend. And we saw that tonight in her ability to play off of the other strikers. So these are world-class attackers. So I just think it just highlights some areas that like, all right, the U.S. need to get cleaned up. I mean, Sonnet has had limited minutes really as of late. Tierna Davidson is still coming back, it feels like, in terms of full 90 minutes, right? And there's the pressure. I don't feel like we've been under this type of pressure for a while. So I give a lot of credit to Brazil. But yeah, defensively, it's just some areas that I think the U.S. can clean up.
Yeah, I agree on that. And all I would want to add to that is the goals came in such quick succession. And I think that came in like a bit when you're playing away from home and you know, give away a ball in the midfield, and all of a sudden you're running 50 yards back to try and defend. I think those things are exactly what Laurie's saying, quite easily cleaned up. Box defending, I think the physicality in the midfield, sprinting all the way home, you know, a couple of players that are standouts that US, I think, were missing in those areas, like Sam Coffey, big injury, Moultrie on the bench, a couple of changes that we might see are those kind of players get more minutes. But when you've just conceded and then it's sloppy passes, those when you're playing away from home against top nations, they will take advantage of it. And of course it's quality in the box, but I agree. Defenders on US will look back at those goals and think we could fix that next time. 100%.
Yeah. Great point though, about the sloppy passes. Cause that was just odd. I felt like all game for the US. Yes. Yeah. Granted the pressure initially. I think that's the biggest thing. I was speaking about this, you know, with the Boston Legacy in my last NWSL game before we went on the break. Hmm. And they are player oriented defensively as well. And they're playing Seattle, and Seattle had a hard time of breaking the first line of pressure. But then once they did, then they were so like erratic with their decision-making because it felt so rushed because the pressure comes so quickly. But it's like, if you can break it and then take a deep breath, that's what you have to do against Brazil. But it just felt like the U.S. never was able to settle in terms of just being able to, well, let's just connect one or two passes, move it a little bit quicker, just move off the ball and force Brazil, especially if they're deeper in their own half, to chase, because we never saw that. I'm a fan of going a little bit vertical to stretch the game. But then once you have the ability to pick up balls and run at them, then it's just about decision-making.
I also don't think it all played into everybody's strengths. Alyssa Thompson, we hardly got to see her. Trinity Rodman, we hardly got to see in the attack, especially in the first half. And I will say, I love this comment from Groovescapes. He said, Bia did what she wanted, when she wanted, how she wanted. Yep. And I think that was the first half for the U.S. It felt like the U.S. was getting bullied a bit on the ball. And now Brazil is, I think, one of the best teams at the dark arts of the game. They know how to waste time, how to kill momentum, how to get you physically, where to trip things up that you feel like the game's a little bit, it seems like it feels that the game's a little bit out of your control, that you're having to react to everything. And I think that that was the issue for the U.S. But then the second half comes and we have a momentum chart of how this game ended up going. Once the U.S. started to gain more possession, started to be on the front foot, I think instead of reacting, actually anticipating. And you see right at the 45 to about 80 is the U.S. truly was dominating over Brazil. But the biggest changes to me were when the subs came in. I think they brought a different sense of energy. There was a more anticipatory energy, especially I loved Avery Patterson on the left. I think Michelle Cooper coming in was a really big adjustment. Were there any subs to you guys that stood out that you thought really brought something to the match?
I thought with the big Jaden Shaw, I think she had a great chance towards the end as well. And I talked about physicality, and when there's that amount of space that opens up in a game like that, for me, I was looking at the amount of space and thinking Jaden Shaw or Rose Lavelle are going to lap that up when if and when they come onto the pitch. Just in terms of decision-making, finding a teammate, taking more advantage of that kind of space. So those were the two that stood out for me. But Michelle Cooper, when I see her come off the bench as well, I'm like expecting crosses whipped into the box and with the form that she's on. So it's just depth in this national team. It's insane.
Yeah, it is. I was thinking Michelle Cooper. I mean, the final product wasn't there tonight. It was a bit too rushed in terms of her trying to find Sophia Wilson. But I mean, she wasn't the only one, right? But she's going to bring energy. You know, she's at least going to press and turn the ball over in some dangerous areas. I'll just make one last comment, and then I have a feeling I know we're going to move on. But in terms of why I think this is such an important game, is because I'm laughing because you do. One more thing, is because in 2011 we actually won that game because of the dark arts or gamesmanship, where Brazil went down, they were trying to time waste, they got shuttered off, and then they were walking right, and it gave us extra time. And so, regardless, that yes, there's a physicality to this game. There was, we saw Bia like basically bear hug Claire Hutton. Those two would know each other very well from Kansas City. But it's even just like stuff like that. You just have to be prepared because there's going to be so many moments like that in a World Cup that you just have to get through because you just need one chance, right? Any of those things, Jaden Shaw put it away, we tie that game. Or we have a, you know, stop the throw in, once that ball is immediately played in, then they don't score that first goal or gain momentum in this game, right? And then how do they respond after time goes on? So I just say all of that because this is why we're there. We all know that. And it's just such an important time for these players. Like, okay, the result is what it is. We want to win every game. But it is, it's just, it's more about those moments and cleaning up. And this is what it's going to be like for these young players in a World Cup that's just going to get that much more stingy and tough to win.
And these are the moments where we really see what this team is made out of. Well, we are going to take a break here very quickly, and we're going to talk about some individual performances on both teams that stood out to us after this one. So stick with us.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant, responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
What's up, friends? Welcome back into Attacking Third. Jen, Lori, Darian over here. We're going to talk about some individual performances from the U.S. Women's National Team versus Brazil. I'm going to go ahead and go first because I just love her. I miss her. I wish she was still in the NWSL. Bia Bia. Oh, my word. Like, what a standout game of taking it to a defense and a team that could not match her strength. The technicality she brought, the anticipation, the finishing. She snuffed out mistakes defensively. I thought she was so strong. And I think when I'm watching this game and the moments where she was just holding onto the ball with honestly defenders kind of bouncing off of her left and right, that is such a skill. And her patience, the right decision making, she was just a joy to watch. And I feel the ultimate test that this defense has needed for the U.S. Women's National Team for so long. I think the U.S. doesn't always get tested in that way, where a forward can just truly match and outmatch you physically and hold onto the ball and still be very clean and make those decisions and string those passes. She had a couple to Dudinha where it just looked so good. It made Emily Fox and Emily Sonnet have to adjust, and we don't always see that happen. So to me, standout player of the match, in my opinion, got the game winner. But I know, of course, we want to talk about the U.S. So, Jen, who do you got?
For the U.S.?
Well, whoever. Whoever you want to
say. I mean, my top two on both sides was Bia for Brazil, and then I've talked about it already, but Sophia Wilson just looked absolutely brilliant from start to finish. I think her pace up top is incredible. I think her anticipation on the press is her starting position is always spot on, and the way she reads what other opposition is about to do, it's the perfect player to start your frontline press in all situations. And then just a pure class act when she took her finish early on, because that's the start of a game. Also, I think that's important to say. A lot of strikers might have had that opportunity and maybe been a little bit flustered, it's come a little bit early, but she just looked so composed, so calm, and it was just opened her body up perfectly. The precision on it was just phenomenal to watch that back on replay. I think she's been missed in the national team, and she just brings that extra bit of quality in the front line. So she was class to watch, and I still can't get over that she's had a kid and has come back.
No.
Incredible form. So I could talk all night about Sophia. I think she's brilliant.
I love that shout, Jen. I feel that she elevates, she makes everybody else's standards be raised. I think we didn't see the best of Trinity Rodman tonight, of Alyssa Thompson, and she just adds a whole new level of this is what this team is going to be. Keep up. And I think everyone looking at this game is going to be like, oh, we need to be pressing just as hard as she is, finishing, having the quality just as much as she is. The hunger, that's what really stood out to me when, especially this in the U.S.'s best game.
Agreed on that. And
she just uses defenders so well to her advantage. Like the way that she moves her ball, her body is so smooth in the sense that she's like just waits for one little bait of the defender and then is just like, yep, I'll glide this way, I'll glide that way. So yeah, I agree. Also, like, you know, listen, this is a really tough game for McGlynn to be thrown into. especially with how much. And I think you at least, yes, there were some nervy moments, right? And I think sometimes that leads to like, okay, what's the communication between the back line and the goalkeeper? But you can see McGlynn's ability to have a range in passing and help start the attack. And I think sometimes that's going to be needed, especially if you're seeing a team that's going to high press and throw numbers forward. So you need to have somebody that's going to be able to play out and maybe look for some of that more direct play initially to then make it a first and second ball game.
Another player I loved that we saw come in the second half was Avery Patterson. I think that left back position, to me, it's still, you know, we had Crystal on the show last week and we were talking about, you know, she's the player that defined that position for many years and just on both sides of the ball was so good. And it's just been vacant and I think unclaimed for a while now. And it's still the position up for debate. When I look at the first and second half, Avery Patterson had herself a game. I thought she was aggressive. She recovered well. She made the right decisions, matched physically. And maybe this is also Brazil getting a little bit more tired and her coming in with a lot of energy to prove. But I really want to give her a shout.
Last one for Jorginho as well, of Brazil. Yes. Obviously, we've all enjoyed watching the NWSL, but it was see her performing on a national team perspective and work so well with Bea Ottaugh running in behind. She's just a really powerful runner, super technical, and again, she did really well. I think the front line caused a lot of problems for Brazil, so, and she's another one to add to that. So that would be my other shout alongside Bea.
I love it. There was a lot of San Diego Wave players. We didn't get to see Kennedy West.
Brazilian team.
Yeah. I'm here for it. All right, everybody. Yeah. Well, we are going to be spinning it forward, looking at the next batch and talking about some players that we hope get some more minutes. So stick with us after this quick one.
Not all electric vehicles are designed the same. Toyota Electric is built to work for you. Grounded in years of proven engineering, it feels intuitive from the start. The Toyota BZ for smooth, everyday driving. The BZ Woodland for all-terrain capability. The all-new CHR for an instant responsive drive. It's not just electric, it's Toyota Electric. We make it easy. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
What's up, friends? Welcome back to Attacking Third. Before we start, we have a little promo. CBS Sports Galazzo Network is your home for the world's game. Don't miss live reactions of all 104 matches, plus in-depth analysis and watch-alongs all summer long, streaming free 24/7 on CBS Sports Galazzo. And you will see some very familiar faces on that coverage. So make sure you tune in. Let us know what's going on. Cheer us on while we are in studio. Okay, back to U.S. Women's National Team versus Brazil. First match, a loss 2-1 against this Brazilian side. They play again on Tuesday. Of course, we will be recapping that match after. But looking ahead, who do we want to see get minutes on Tuesday? Lori, why don't you take us off first? Who do you think deserves it? Who do you think can be most effective going against this side if Brazil were to stay the same?
Yeah, I'll be curious about getting Avery Patterson, as we just mentioned, into the starting lineup. I would like to see Jaden Shaw in there in the midfield as well. And then and some more minutes for Olivia Moultrie, depending on what's going on with her calf and how she's feeling. But I would also just say, let's get Mal Swanson some minutes. I don't think that she is going to necessarily start this game by any means, but unless they feel like, okay, it makes more sense to start her and then bring her off, then bring her on at the end. But regardless, I would love to see Mal Swanson. And even though we've all been waiting for Triple Espresso, I would just like love to see Mal get some minutes at the on the international stage against a Brazil team. But I do think there's going to be heavily rotated, and why not? I mean, you want to give as many players in this environment the opportunity, especially as the qualifiers right around the corner and then just a year away from next summer. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's more rotation than not.
No, 100%. I think when a manager is already making subs at halftime and bringing players off the bench, that just goes to show that it's pre-planned. It's already, or in a sense, obviously the way a game plays out, it might change tactically, but knowing the way Emma Hayes worked and how she has done previously with friendlies coming and going, I do think a lot of minutes will be given for the next game as well. But I'd love to see Moultrie in the midfield. Spoke about physicality earlier on, and I think that was quite missed, especially when a game is so expansive and you just need someone to get a grip of the midfield when there are those. Loose passes will always happen. Mistakes will always happen. It's part of football, but you need players to kind of, I don't know, manage those moments a little bit better. That's one for me. Everyone wants to see Swanson in there for sure. Just get more minutes. She's been...
You think we could see Triple Espresso, though?
Yeah, I was trying to think that because obviously last week I was like, yeah, we're going to see them. And then I just think it just depends on how they manage the other two, Trin and Sos minutes. And again, it's like they decide to start Mal because sometimes that it makes more sense, right? Instead of bringing somebody off the bench, even though you're going to be on limited minutes, it's just let's give her a go from the beginning. You know what? I think that maybe we would have seen it if we would have won this game. And now I think it's going to be just about like, okay, who do we really – we know what a Triple Espresso can do together. So who do we need to see in these environments more so than that being like the main focus?
Do we know what Triple Espresso can still do together?
Well, that's true. That's true. It's been 2 years. As I was saying that, good point. It's been a couple of years. So, but yes, I think when you look at the three of them, I'm like, all right, here we go.
I wonder how different that's going to look because this game tonight, it felt like a lack of chemistry, even between Rodman and Wilson, and they know each other very well, but Wilson just seemed like on another plane of playing and hunger to prove. And Rodman looked a little off. I think the pitch was very slippery. Everyone was falling. It's not even just that. But yeah. I don't know if the game plan suited Rodman and Thompson today.
Yeah, I think on that, it's always – because you obviously have an expectation of a caliber of player to be at their peak every single time. But I do think it is so much harder when you've had injuries, players have been out, where and when you're peaking. Obviously, we saw them peak, right? Gold medals galore and just flying. Whereas when you have inconsistencies from players, from injuries, everything, being out for a certain amount of time, that for me does take time. Everyone wants to see them play together to build that back momentum and consistency. And I think when there are so many changes, players starting, players coming off the bench at halftime, that is difficult. And it easier against, no disrespect, a lower ranked team, but when you're up against a team that can basically, you know, take advantage of those moments, of those little mistakes happening. But I think these are the situations that Emma Hayes wants to see. She wants to see her team make those mistakes to then better them so that come World Cup absolutely peaking. So I think it's building. I think it will take time to build up again. Personally, I don't know how you guys.
No, feel. That's a fair point. Yeah, no, that's a fair point.
I could have been playing with the exact same centre back, but if one of us has been out injured, you know, you need time for them to get back up to feeling the best or playing consistent minutes. It's, I think it all plays into, you know, let alone you want that with your club. International is a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah, this is true with a lot less time. Yeah. One of the players I really want to see is Emma Sears. I want to give her more time. Emma Sears, Michelle Cooper, Jaden Shaw. I think today they were really missing some freshness, some audacity on the pitch, and all of those players truly play with that. Very, very front-footed. You know, Laura, you were talking about how Brazil loves to go 1v1, and Jen, you too, how they match up. They're not afraid to stand you up and see what you can do on the ball and force you into solo defensive positions. I think the U.S. needed to do that, and to have some players to come in and just go all the way to end line, send crosses in, make Brazil have to get set up properly defensively, because in this game they truly didn't have to a lot because it was so sloppy. And those are the players that I just would love, love, love to see on the pitch. What are some of the...
Or go ahead. I'll just go off of that. Just to also force Brazil to your point, to in defensive situations, maybe not even to pass, but like as we saw early on, we thought maybe that was dog so, could have been a red card on Emily Fox, right? And so I think that is an attacker that's tracking back, but we've seen that from Brazil. They're not afraid to like put themselves in risky positions in dangerous areas on the pitch. So it's also not even just about, yes, we want to get isolated for the attacking sake, for the U.S. to create chances, but just see how disciplined is Brazil going to be in those defensive moments, because they are risky with the way. I mean, one, just the setup, they don't keep a lot of players back. And if you have good movement early, it's tough in terms of like who they're deciding is going to track and where they're going to ground. A lot of times they'll go to ground inside their own 18-yard box. You're going to draw penalties. You're going to put yourself into positions that could be advantageous. So I think to your point, Dee, get players that are going to be direct. Get players that want look for the balls in behind. And then change the game plan, right? You don't have to go direct all the time. But just come back then and get the ball to your feet and then take on 1v1. I just didn't think we saw enough of a variation. Like, okay, can we stretch this game? And then can we come back and get the ball to feet or drop Sophia Wilson into that space that's inevitably going to open up once that back line drops for Brazil?
I will. So my one thing to say on that, though, is when U.S. were going direct, for me, they were going direct centrally, not necessarily wide.
Yeah, fair.
And that's how, for me, when you have Thompson and Rodman, for me, have relatively quiet games, can I say, maybe? For me, it's because the balls were going centrally. They weren't getting isolated.
Yeah,
and
hit diagonals,
It was more direct up through the middle. So for me, from a tactical standpoint, that's why they were maybe having quieter games, because it wasn't your classic switch side to play, isolate them. It was let's go fast, but let's go fast centrally, and that didn't work quite for them from a wide player perspective. It didn't give them enough of the 1v1 isolated situations that they thrive on.
For sure.
I think that's where I was looking, though, during the game, because there were some moments even where Wilson dropped in, like you said, Lori. Thompson made a diagonal run, and then it wasn't played, but she was 1v1 in the back. Mm. There was a lot of moments where, Jen, you nail on the head. It's hard to have chemistry when people are coming back from maternity leave, from injuries. You haven't had a chance to play together. You're playing in different leagues, not even playing against each other anymore in club, and then jumping into being teammates. It's difficult. But I do think that there's a lot of film the U.S. is going to look on, a lot of massive spaces, you said, on those wing channels where it would have gotten the better out of a Thompson and a Rodman, who do like to be wide and go 1v1 and get in line. But we just didn't get to see that. So I expect a massive change from the U.S. tactically on the ball. But then Brazil side, do we think that Brazil will come out the same way looking at this and knowing that there's a whole other level and different team that the U.S. could put out against them?
Yeah, I mean, I think absolutely. They have to expect. My thing for the U.S., they have gears to go up from that game. I don't think they were nowhere, like for me, the levels that they can get to, the mistakes that were made was not U.S., not what we're used to seeing. So if I'm in the Brazil national team, I'm thinking, okay, the game's going to be 10 times harder next time, because they have gears to go up. So on all levels, by the way, whether it's selection, tactically, choice of decision making, everything defensively. I know it's the chops and change with selection, so that's hard, and that's everything we've been talking about, but still you have to think that they have gears to go up and they should be thinking that way as well.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how much Brazil will change in the sense that they might change some personnel as well, but I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and have a similar game plan. Right?
You think they'll play just as like big and open?
I think that is their game plan. Yeah. We saw that in the Olympics, we saw that in Copa America throughout the tournament last year. Like, this is a team that's
the way they play.
How does the team plays? Yeah. And I think that's how they get joy. I think that's how they feel the most like aggressive and full of life to be able to get the results. I don't think this is a team. In fact, in 2023, when Pia Sunage was their coach, she was tried to do this 4-4-2 stay between. And it was like, that team seemed so out of sorts that it was like, and they didn't get out of the group, right? For almost very similar. Now, granted, a lot of players have leveled up and gotten more experience, right? And we've seen the game even grow even more in just 2 years, but it's very similar. There's a lot of similar players. So my point is, I think they'll see the same. I think it's just going to be all about the U.S. and changing a few things tactically. But also, when you look at Brazil, test the goalkeeper, because with how much depth this team has, that is still, in my opinion, one of their more weaker spots, and force them into having to make saves. Like, get some shots early on. And see if they want to change at all tactically, Brazil. We'll see.
I like that. That is one of the notes I had that I didn't get to mention, is why wasn't the U.S. shooting from distance? Goalkeepers getting leg wrapped down a bunch. Tester, four saves. Yeah. And the other thing I'll say, U.S. on set pieces needs to be better. Lori, I feel like your time with U.S. Women's National Team, it was an era of the U.S. is going to score on a set piece. And it's just... That
amount,
like,
kind of, I can't tell you how much time we spend on set pieces, like just so much, because it has historically, now everybody is like, the game has grown immensely. But like, when you looked at stuff, crossing, defending crosses and defending set pieces were like the most difficult thing in the women's game. And we would dominate, but you know who actually like dominated us in the final? Freaking Japan. Because they, you know what they did? They just read the whole thing. They just went short, and Sawa scored on a near post corner kick. And we weren't expecting it because we would dominate. And it was so clinical. So again, it's like about variety, but it all starts with the delivery. I mean, you have heaps in there. You have players that can, Tierna Davidson, Sana can get into the mix, right? You have players that that can put them away. It's just about the delivery initially.
Yeah, that's really what I'm looking to seeing. And I think that's something that this team has kind of lost, but need to build back into it. I think there were opportunities tonight, but maybe we'll see it on Tuesday. Who knows? Big change lineup, big match for Brazil and the U.S. Women's National Team Tuesday night. And of course, we will all be back Tuesday to recap it all. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us here live on YouTube, on GalazzoNet, or wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you tell your friends about it. Give us 5 stars. Like, comment, subscribe. Let us know what is going on. From Jen, Lori, Audrey, and Phil, I'm Darian, and this was Attacking Third. Podcasts.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.